Hey guys, we're deep into the book of Acts here, and we got a couple more days of this until we shift gears over into the book of James. It is Tuesday, and we are in Acts chapter 13. A lot of information today, and mostly what I'm going to do is just share information with you and give you an overview of what you'll be reading about, along with giving you just a little bit of information that might help you to understand the text a little bit better. So we've got Saul, which we see at the beginning of this chapter. He's still called Saul. And we've got Barnabas, and we've got John. Now, this is a different John than John the Baptist. It's a different John than John the disciple. So if we just read this and don't understand which John this is, we might assume that it's John the disciple, but it's not. It's actually John Mark, who is Barnabas' cousin. So a little tiny detail there, but important that we understand this wasn't Saul and the disciple John, one of the original 12. So they get sent out on this missionary journey. Now, I talked about John. Barnabas, we've seen this name before, I think back in chapter 9. And Barnabas was a Jew that was known for his generosity and goodness. And he's the guy who, if you remember, that brought Paul to the disciples, and the disciples were scared of him because he had been a great persecutor of Christians. And Barnabas is the one that brought him to the disciples and said, hey, this guy's good. And so that's kind of where we heard about him. So Paul and Barnabas, if we read back a chapter, had spent about a year together in Antioch. Remember the special thing about Antioch? It's where the believers were first called Christians. So they spend about a year there before going on this journey. And then in verse 9, we see Saul referred to as Paul. Now, many people traditionally associate this name change as something that happened because of his conversion. So there was a big change in his life. So his name changed, kind of like Abram turned to Abraham when he was promised that he'd be the father of many nations and have a son. But that's not really the case here. I think most scholars would agree that the name Saul seems to be his Jewish name, and then Paul is his name in Roman and in Greek. So he kind of used the name interchangeably based on where the group of people he was with. So the context he was in. So if he was around Roman people, then he would have been called Paul. And so we see that Paul is going to make a shift to ministering mostly to people who are non-Jewish, who are known as Gentiles. Romans were Gentiles as well. So a false prophet comes along in this passage and loses his sight, reminding us of the way that Paul had when he was against Christ. And so they end up in this place called Pisidian Antioch. This is a different Antioch than the one that they had spent a year in. And they show up and they are invited to be guest speakers in the synagogue. Now, this was a pretty common, customary thing to invite visitors to the synagogue to teach. And so Paul finds himself in the synagogue speaking to both Jews and Gentiles. And as we see so often in the book of Acts here, even clear back in the earlier chapters with Stephen, we see people outline the gospel to their hearers, and they start with the Old Testament. The reason they did that is because people knew the Old Testament. They knew what the Bible said about the Messiah. So Paul is in this synagogue speaking, and as usual, he goes back to the Old Testament, and he walks them through a lot of the Old Testament, not in great detail, but he talks about the plight of the Jews from Moses to their desert wandering, to the time of the judges, to King Saul, to King David, and then he goes straight from King David to Jesus. And talks about Jesus being from David's bloodline and that he was the promised Messiah. So he talks about Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament messianic prophecy. He talks about Jesus being accused and sentenced to death. and dying and resurrecting, and then very convincingly explains to them that this was the promised Messiah. So he was pretty convincing, and they invited him back the next Sunday to teach. So he must have been doing a pretty good job. And so we see that a bunch of people start following him. The next Sunday, or the next Sabbath, he shows up to teach, and it tells us that nearly the whole city showed up. And here's where that big shift occurs. So his message that day was rejected by the Jews, but the Gentiles, the Romans, were all over it. So Paul, in essence, says, okay, now we minister to the Gentiles, since you Jews aren't going to listen. And so Gentiles come to know Christ by the multitudes, but the persecution of Paul increases. We will see tomorrow more of the traveling that they do here, but here's something I want you to think about today. The bolder that Paul became, the more that he shared about Christ, the more that the persecution increased. And we look to the very last verse in verse 52, and after it tells us they were greatly persecuted, it says the disciples, which Paul was one of, were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And this is something we're going to see more and more out of Paul. The more he shares, the more persecution that happens, and the more joy he has in his life, even through the persecution. Don't you think that that is a great earmarker for somebody who's really walking their faith out? That even when they're persecuted, they feel joy because they know that God is using them. I encourage you to let God use you today. I encourage you to be bold. I encourage you to look for opportunities to share God's love with others. I'll be back with you tomorrow for Acts chapter 14.